Scatter, cause they know the bad.
Good news for the lonely hearts that break. You are as
bad. You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
Oh God of revival, let hope arise. Death is overcome.
And good morning. We're so glad you're listening to WCNO. You find us right here at 89.9. Trust that you set your dial there and keep it there. We have a lot of wonderful friends across the state of Florida, and we are blessed to have you as a part of our family. Well, we have a few guests that are going to be joining us today, as happens on Wednesday Live, and I want to just take a moment to give a little bit of airtime to two new shows that are taking place, one on Monday at 11 a.m.
That's right.
And David Francoeur is the host of that program. David, tell us how that's going. You're now, what, 3 weeks getting ready to... Next week will be number four, maybe?
I think, actually, it's been a month. We started April 3rd, so...
Okay.
Yeah. Well, the program is called The Frontline, and it's really bringing in people that are in frontline ministry, sharing their testimony, telling us what God's got them doing now, and just hearing the grace, the power of God working through them. But the other part of that is to remind people that you're a believer. You have a frontline ministry. And hope Amen. If you don't haven't embraced it, to do so. We had a lot of good response from folks. It's very encouraging.
Indeed, I've had some calls. In fact, I had a call on the weekend.
Oh, really?
On the weekend, on my personal cell phone.
Oh my!
Wanting to tell me how important Frontline program was.
Wow! Cool.
Gentleman called and said that he endeavors to not miss a program, and then he just was giving us all kinds of accolades, and I just let him. It was okay.
That's great.
He was blessed by. The new programming with your program, as well as with our Miss Karen Hubbard. Karen, you also host a new show Friday mornings at 11 a.m. Tell us about it.
That's right. And the new show, which I had no intention of doing a show here, but the Lord provided that opportunity.
Pulled you out of your...
He did, yeah.
Little cubbyhole.
Out of the hidden place.
There you
go. But yeah, so my program is the Hidden Places. And based on Malachi 3:16, where the Lord said that we make up His treasured possession, those that fear the Lord, and those that honor the Lord and talk about Him, you know, He said that they will become treasured possession, and that accounts for many of us in the body of Christ. Most of us, all those who name the name of Jesus, and there's many in the body of Christ that have great stories to tell. They've got amazing testimonies.
Absolutely.
And, mm-hmm. We just want to hear I want to hear from them. That was the first thing that the Lord put on my heart when Jonathan, you offered me that 1 hour time slot. I want to hear testimonies. I want to bring people on that are going to encourage you, people maybe that have been through a lot, and maybe people that haven't, maybe, you know, people that have just been walking with the Lord their whole lives and, you know, from a young age. So we just want to bring people out from those hidden places and that all can enjoy and partake.
Amen.
So maybe someone's listening today that knows someone that would be a great guest to bring onto one of these programs. So Karen, how would someone get a message to you if what kind of a testimony or contact are you looking for?
So for me, you could email wcnoproduction@wcno.com, attention hidden places, and, you know, just give me your name and a brief testimony. Let me know a little bit about you, and I will just begin to correspond with you to set up a time and a date.
And it may not be a person that is actually offering or desiring to be a part. Maybe you know somebody. Maybe you know someone and say,
yes,
wow, what a God story that is. I think the point to me that all of us have this kind of a relationship with God if you're truly in the kingdom.
Correct.
Amen.
Yes.
The question is whether or not that has been unwrapped so that it can be presented. But every one of us have a God story that's powerful. The Apostle Paul never quit telling his story.
Right.
I mean, he's still talking about, hey, I was on the Damascus Road, and, you know, I was out there looking to arrest the followers of the way, and, you know, he told his story of encountering Jesus and that transformation that took place in his life, and that's powerful. Now, Dave, who are you looking for, and how can people get a hold of you?
Well, I also am interested in people willing to share their testimony and to talk about what they're doing in ministry. And it doesn't have to be earth-shattering. You know, everybody's got a ministry, like I said, it's front line. And that when people tell their story, their God story, and then what is God doing in and through them now, to them it may seem rather mundane. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And yet, to the listener, hearing someone's ministry, it's very powerful. It's very freeing. I'll never, just as an example, when I was first met, after I met the Lord, he got me into prison ministry. Of all things, here a guy had never gotten arrested. I never had a speeding ticket, right? By the nothing. I was
ministry.
Mr., you know, squeaky clean, right? God sent me into working with this prison ministry, and we would go do crusades. And I'd be meeting guys in prison that, you know, murderers, I mean, the thievery, whatever, that got them into serious trouble. And I was sharing Christ with them out of my testimony. And you know what's powerful is they were listening.
Amen.
Because the key is Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
Not what I did, be listening.
And don't we always look for that? We're not looking to see who can tell a more sinful story.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
The significance is, sometimes the significance is, God kept me from going into deep sin.
Yep.
And I've known some like that, you know, their story is the grace of God from the time I was a child, you know. And so everyone's story is powerful. So you can contact the station, and if you want to reach out to Karen or to David, you can send us emails. That would be to wcno@wcno.com, mm-hmm. and just address it to Attention Karen, Attention David, and they will get your mail, and we will endeavor to follow up with you. And just want to say a big thank you to all of you that make this ministry possible.
Amen.
Because without your prayer support and also your faithful giving, we simply wouldn't be here. I mean, it takes participation. And I know sometimes people will listen and think, well, Christian radio is always there. But it wasn't always here. Mm-hmm. I remember when we didn't have a WCNO. Now, we're 30... 3 years old now. And so as a station, not personally, but as a ministry.
Yeah.
But prior to that, I remember a lot of people were praying for another station to be raised up in the area. And there are many other great Christian stations, but we're not all the same. And God has called us, just like different ministries and different individual pastors and other leaders. God calls us to minister in specific areas, and WCNO has its place, and we're not here to take the place of the rest of the body of Christ in their ministries, but we're here to be a blessing to those and to you as well. So we want to thank you. And just this morning, someone came by and dropped off Jim, our friend. Thank you, Jim, for that donation this morning that just came in. And of course, received a note from a family that had pledged $3,000. And the note said 6 months ago, but the first $1,500 had been given, and just sent in the second $1,500. And sometimes I'll have a family say, well, you know, we made a pledge, but we weren't able to fulfill it within that time frame. Well, it's never too late to give, because God knows exactly what your needs are and what our needs are.
Right.
And, you know, God may have provided last year through someone else, but today he may be looking to provide through you. And incidentally, some have asked about the tower, and I need to just mention this, because we have had no small amount of issues with our equipment. And the reason for that is it's 33 years old. We have equipment that has been running a number of components have been running for 33 years around the clock, which is just unbelievable. And so we are at a place where we are going to be rebuilding all of our transmitter equipment. That's going to be changed out. And I don't know what the numbers are this morning, but we've been bouncing around, you know, maybe 75 to 85% power, which means you may be able to get us, but you hear more static. There's a little drop in the signal, and that is because our equipment is failing, and we are going to be replacing that. Now, the equipment, if you were listening during prayer and share, you know our budget for that at this time, and we may go over, it may come a little under, I don't know, but most of the time things cost more than you may think they might cost. But I know we have 70-some thousand, close to $80,000, I believe, of just equipment. And then, of course, we have the installation, the labor to do that, and the other miscellaneous components. And so I was just talking with a pastor. His congregation made a tremendous donation in excess of $12,000 just to help us replace the equipment at the tower. And a number of people did call in. In fact, I'm looking at a number. It's like in close to $35,000. I believe we've probably broken $35,000 to go toward the tower, but we need $100,000. And so that equipment's going to be coming in soon. And I know that we're going to have a pastor with us next week, Pastor Daryl Orman. I'm looking forward to having Pastor Orman with us. And, you know, he, as well as some other pastors personally, made a personal donation toward the tower. And Pastor Daryl will be talking about that next week. But I really appreciate that when pastors understand this is home missions. And we are here to lift up your hands every day of the year.
Amen.
And so we appreciate those one-time donations that come in. And, you know, whether it's $5 or, you know, it's $500 or $5,000 or whatever God's put on your heart, all of it together makes up the provision to take care of this ministry. So, you know, Karen, we want to make sure that we thank our listeners all the time. Do you have any mail this morning?
Yes, we have one letter here.
One letter, okay.
This is from Lawson. And Lawson writes in, I'm writing to you, first of all, thank you for the station and ministry outreach of the station. I'm also enclosing a check that I called in about during prayer and share. When I called in to donate, I was told that I would receive correspondence from the station, but I have not received that. Our mail delivery has been somewhat of a challenge recently, and I attribute it to that so far. And he said it may still show up, but rather than wait any longer, I decided to send in this letter and also decided to double the amount that I originally pledged.
Wow. Isn't that great?
Because of the blessing the station and staff is to the area, especially during these challenging times. Be blessed and keep up the great work.
That is awesome.
That's an amazing letter. Thank
you. That's awesome. And we checked, and that letter, as far as we know, was mailed out. And so we get mail back sometimes 6 months, as much as a year later. I don't know how that happens.
I don't either.
I don't know where the mail goes, you know, if it's not going where it's supposed
slipped
to.
Slipped under somebody's desk or something.
Well, then you get it delivered 30 years later. And
so, you go, okay.
Yeah. Something that Lawson wrote, and I just wanted to piggyback on what we talked about earlier with the new programs. He talks about what's happening today, right?
Right.
And developing our new programming, that was on top of our list of importance in terms of the format and the presentation. The content is to be more cutting edge, more, you know, directive, and dealing with issues that are happening today.
So it's relevant. So
it's relevant.
It's relevant. All right, Ma and Paul have made their way to the studio, and we are going to transition to hear a little bit about what's going on over at Bicker's Corner. Well, like most people who run a working farm, Ma and Paul are very traditional in their attitude toward new things. Just because something is new doesn't mean it's worthwhile to purchase. For them, farm equipment has to be durable, reliable, and economical. Otherwise, they just don't buy it. Recently, a new tractor dealer is open for business in Bicker's Corner. Paul has been curious about their offerings. Since his current tractor has not been running well, it needs some parts which are no longer made. The local Ford tractor dealer has not been successful in finding used parts anywhere. Paul's curiosity led him to visit the new dealer, but he has returned home in a dark mood. And Maul is going to have a challenge, enabling Paul to achieve his peace again.
Hey, Ma, you got a minute? I really need to get a whole load of stuff off my chest.
Well, of course I do. Let's just sit right here on the porch. You tell me what got your knickers in a twist.
I already told you our tractor is perched right on the brink of going to farm equipment heaven, haven't I?
Yes, you have. In fact, this may be the 100th time you mentioned it. I mean, I'm almost ready to hang a black wreath on that barn door.
I guess I'm just so upset. I'd figured we'd keep that tractor, you know, for at least 20 years. Then I found out that the critical parts that make it go have been out of production for quite a while. Oh, if I could find the parts I'd need, well, they'd probably cost an arm and a leg.
Yeah, and they wouldn't want any of your limbs, seeing as they don't work as well as they used to. But they'd probably take money instead.
Oh, of course they would, Ma. But you know the supply. Yes, what is the supply? I have no idea. But the supply, the law of supply and demand, is at work with a vengeance on this issue. Them parts would be very expensive.
Well, I suppose it's time to look for a replacement. I bet old Spud Cracknicker might have something decent down at his tractor lot. Why don't you drive down there and see what he's got?
I might tomorrow, but not today. I'm just too teeth-gnashing angry to do that right now.
And why is that, Pa? Does it have something to do with where you went this morning?
Oh, it is. I saw an ad in the Bicker's Corner Tattler. There's a new tractor dealer in town, and I just thought I'd check out what he had.
So, why don't you tell me before you went? I might have liked to join you. Do you ever think of that?
I guess not, Ma. And I'm sorry I didn't ask you. In fact, if you'd have come with me, you might have helped me calm down before I came home.
Well, I know you're itching to tell me what went on over there. So just spill it, Pa. You keep me in suspense with your long, drawn-out stories. But I'm an older woman. I'm not sure my heart can take all of this.
All right. So anyway, I pulled into their lot, got out of my truck, and just started walking around to see what they had. First off, they didn't have any tractor stock outside. Everything was inside the showroom. And let me tell you, it was the fanciest showroom I ever seen. They had 6 different tractor models, and they was all on them raised turntables, just, you know, slowly twirling around while laser light shone on them. And let me tell you, each of them tractors was a beauty. I mean, polished chrome everywhere. And the colors, bright red, yellow, orange. and a couple of them had wraps on them what looked like a lush field of beans or something.
Oh, my word. I ain't never heard of such a thing on a tractor.
Oh, Ma, that ain't half of it. Them tractor seats looked like overstuffed executive chairs. Real leather, too. And when you lifted up the part where your behind goes, they had a chemical toilet there. And they'd put a toilet paper holder on the shift lever. I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Well, that is sure a first for me, Pa. I guess the day of the simple tractor is over. Did you have a chance to get any information on them?
About the time I was shaking my head about that toilet, some feller walked over and asked me if I needed any help. Now, Ma, you can't even imagine this, but that guy was wearing a pair of suede bib overalls. And he had on one of them puffy pirate shirts, you know, with all them frills on the collar and the cuffs. And on his head was a gold cowboy hat with blinking lights. And his teeth, they shone brighter than the lights on his hat. You know, Ma, I thought my retinas was going to fry.
Well, Pa, that's the most unusual thing. But just might be what they're doing for this branding, you know. When you see them in their outfit, you'll automatically know they work for that dealer.
Well, while all of that I had seen caused a severe shock to my system, what followed is the real reason I got so mad.
Well, I can see the beginnings of all that, Pa. You ain't accustomed to such appearances. I mean, old Spud Cracknicker usually wears those old patch jeans, flannel shirt, half tucked in, 3 days worth of whiskers on his face, and a pound of chewing tobacco bulging out of his cheeks.
Yeah, that's true. And the feller in the suede bib overalls came off like he was, I don't know, some kind of snob. He kind of sashayed over my direction with his nose up in there. He squinted at me and said, "You're not allowed to touch the equipment without permission." Well, I just stared wide-eyed at him. Not touch the equipment? Well, I ain't going to buy any tractor I can't put my fingerprints on.
I can see why he came home in such a huff. If a farming man can't lay hands on his tractor, caress that engine, pull on that steering wheel, or sniff those tires, he can't begin to bond with a future purchase.
Why, it's nearly un-American, Ma. And I guess that brings me to the real reason I got so hot under the collar. I stood up to that suede-covered dilettante and boldly asked him, "So, is this here tractor gas or diesel?" Well, it was like I told him he had monkeys jumping out of his ears. He reared back, raised his eyebrows so they was higher than the brim on his hat, and he said, "It's all electric. We will not foul our hands with fossil-fueled contraptions."
Well, ain't that a kick in the face? You mean to tell me they don't sell anything but electric tractors?
Yeah, that's the bottom line, Ma. Everything they got has to be plugged into an electric outlet. No gas or diesel. Now, I ask you, Ma, how can any self-respecting farmer sit on a tractor out in his or her fields doing what they got to do, Ma, excuse me, without the noise of the hard-working engine filling their ears with that special music? And let us not forget the exciting aroma of the engine exhaust that ignites the human heart with the promise of new life coming out of that tilled ground.
Now, I completely understand your frustration. But, you know, technology's advancing in several areas. We got to expect that these changes are going to touch the equipment that we use here on the farm.
Well, I know that's true, but I also know the technology that drives all this business of electric vehicles ain't quite at the point where buying such a thing is entirely practical, not to mention affordable. That feller at the tractor dealer told me the least expensive tractor they sell begins at $250,000. You know, for that kind of money, I could buy a Rolls Royce with a trailer hitch on the back. Monday through Saturday, I can work $1,000 and have us a nice ride for Sunday.
Well, Pa, I am in complete agreement with you. But at this time, I want you to remember that you are not being forced to accept this or any new technology. There are several other places within decent driving distance where you can find and purchase the kind of tractor that you need.
I know. I guess what really set me off was the salesman's attitude. It reminded me of so many of them liberal folks who like to pronounce their ideas for America as being better than what we've done in the past. More like how the beliefs and traditions that made America great are now useless. I still believe God is healing our land and restoring America to the covenant nation he intended us to be, but I can't help getting riled up when I get an earful of the narrative that's brought so much darkness on our land.
I'm right there with you, Paul. But, you know, we have to stand above all that. And our job as Christians is to speak God's truth whenever the opportunity presents itself. That's what old Paul wrote in his letter to the Ephesians about speaking the truth in love.
And you're right, Ma. I guess I gave up my peace at that dealership when I let my anger rule. I didn't leave a good witness for that sales feller. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back there and set that right. I'm going to apologize for my behavior and tell him about Jesus.
Paul, I knew you'd do the right thing. And while you're there, can you tell him not to wear that pirate shirt? And who knows, you might be the one witness that that feller needs to make a decision for Christ.
I sure hope so. And you know, I might also ask him where he got them suede bib overalls. I was thinking how snappy I might look wearing such a thing at the next Bickers Corner Farmer's Ball.
My advice, Pa, stick with denim. God didn't make you to look good in that much suede.
Well, this story, it is a good one to demonstrate how even stalwart believers like Ma and Paul can be challenged by the darkness which has pervaded our culture today. Scripture is clear that we must always be listening to God and open to the direction of His Holy Spirit. In this way, we are able to navigate the treacherous waters of life like a boat on a stormy sea. It is also helpful to remember that a stormy sea is a God-given opportunity to speak His peace into the storm. And often, this means sharing His truth with the cause of the storm, that is, sharing His truth with the people whose fear and anger are generating the winds and waves that upset us. If you're in such a place today, lay claim to God's loving truth and make a prophetic utterance to that storm. Well, amen.
Amen.
And thank you so much, Ma and Paul, for being with us today. We're going to go to a couple little spots. We have another guest that's going to be joining us in just a couple minutes.
Bring you stories from the front line of ministry. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring. Always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
All right, and we want to welcome John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. John, we have a couple minutes. How are you?
Hey, John.
Things are just wonderfully beautiful. How about with my pals over there at WCNO?
Same.
Right? We're having a good time. You know, I'm afraid I'm going to have nightmares about this golf tournament, though, because you told me a story of some ladies that are going to be golfing that have never had a golf club in their hands before.
Well, that's our new celebrities that do the show on Friday.
Celebrities.
We ran it out.
Yeah.
Yes. A great, great recovery program, that is. John, give us a thumbnail of who you are. We have a couple minutes left before we transition to the next guest.
Tell us who you are. FamiliesRecover.org actually was a part of Families Against Drunk Driving years ago. We're 10-year-old 501c3 nonprofit, IRS bonded. You know, we've got all the great certifications and we keep them current. And, you know, with that being said, you know, drug, alcohol, prevention, and education, and then you guys know my story. We don't have to go into it on this 2 minutes, but we actually added human trafficking into that mix. And it's just, you know, it's heartbreaking, but there's some people actually making it.
Amen. Well,
so
I know you're...
that situation. We do a good golf tournament every year. We actually moved it up to the old club med 2 years ago. Wyndham and the Academy have bought that place, and they're just throwing a boatload of money at it, and that's going to be a new partnership for us with the golf course. And so on June 23rd at 8:30 a.m., I get to see how far Jonathan can hit the golf ball.
Well, we're praying about
that.
And
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great day of raising money for a good cause. It's a great day to come out and hit balls. It's a scramble, so best ball. Last year, the Jensen Beach Girls High School actually came in second place, and I love that. This year, we got First Key coming out. We got Jensen Beach High School, St. Lucie High School, and Martin High School. Wow. I really love bringing kids out. I think that it's, you know, our future stands in their hands, and I think the more interaction that they have, they can share with other people in the school about our mission. So it's just a good day out, good food, good fellowship.
John, you have sponsors, I know, that have already stepped up, but do you still have some positions open for sponsors?
You know, it's been a pretty good run. You know, after COVID finally left, all the nonprofits, not just us, are able to get back into that fundraising. We got about four holes left, and we're within $8,000 of our target, which, like you guys know, when you're raising money for the tower or for your guys' operating budget, that's exciting. So, you know, we know God's gonna supply as he always does.
Amen.
But if you're interested, look at our website, www.familiesrecover.org. Scroll through. Our site went through some major changes. It actually was crashed, and we lost 8 years of media. I have a great guy working on that stuff. So, you know, we love our sponsors, and we love our radio station.
Awesome. Well, John, it's always great to have you jump in and join us, and I know that you in your own family suffered some of the pain of loss because of the addictions and the plans of the enemy to take our families apart. And I'm so glad that God has raised you up and others like you that are not only just ministering to the crises, but you're also at work with kids trying to minister to them so they can find out there's a much better way than to follow in the steps perhaps of maybe a dad they didn't have or maybe a family that's just been a disaster.
You know, it comes to all that stuff. And it could have been a perfectly fine family, and they started hanging around the wrong crowd.
That happens.
You know, I talk about it all the time. Know who your kids are hanging around with. Know what websites your kids are going on. They may not like it, but 20 years from now, they'll look back on that and say, we were taught the right way, and they're doing the same thing with their kids. Kids are getting snatched every day in human trafficking.
Yes.
Kids are trying stuff that's out there like fentanyl. And it's addictive right off the get, just like heroin. And all of a sudden, we can't understand what happened to our A student. Well, what happened was we weren't paying attention. So, you know, that's one of the biggest things that I promote. You know what your kids are doing. Take part in their life. It's just brutal out there. It isn't like it was, Jonathan, when you and I and Dave grew up. It's not.
True. It's different
We're
world.
We're a whole different ballgame.
Different world. Yeah, last week was a tough week for... our extended family, really my wife's side. We had a 27-year-old that overdosed, and we also had a grandma that went to be with the Lord. She was a strong believer, and here we have, you know, a 27-year-old life that was taken out, and again, it was one of those relapses.
Yeah, my daughter, 3 months ago, lost her best friend to an overdose. A week later, the manager of Millerville House got killed by that guy speeding in front of BJ's on US 1. And last weekend, her girlfriend from work got ran over by the cops across town on US 1. We don't know when it's going to happen.
Yeah.
We don't.
Yeah.
He does. I don't.
Amen. So it's important that we keep the lights on and show people how to find their way home to God.
Just pray that the church comes back to the church that they used to be.
Amen. Amen. John, one more time, give us that website and your phone number so people can reach you.
FamiliesRecover.org, 772-285-5828. And remember, guys, we need a new tower. So if you're sitting there in Sewell's Point thinking about pouring some vodka this morning, instead of doing that, write that $100,000 check.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go.
Love you guys.
Thank you. Thank you, John. Thanks, John. Thank you so much. God bless.
God bless.
Have a great day, John. You are listening to WCNO in Palm City, Florida. It is right now 11:39, and I am so blessed to have Dr. Stephen Lambert with us for this second half of our morning. And Dr. Lambert, you have been a part of this ministry off and on over the years. I want to get that mic right over to your face there so we can make sure we can hear you.
Yeah, I have.
And we want to thank you for your programming and the ministry that you have shared with our listeners. And you are at a place in your life where I just am thrilled to know you, because the doctors have had a word for you that that your demise should have happened back almost a year ago. Tell us what's happening, because you are in the process of writing a book on faith. And I want you to be able to talk about that a bit this morning, and a little bit of your God story. But how does a man of God face the devil nose to nose, toe to toe, and as a man of faith is not shaken?
That's a good question. It's a good setup. So, you know, yeah, back in January of 2021, I saw the oncologist for the first time, my oncologist. I hate to say my oncologist, because I don't want to claim it.
There you go.
But it's like I talk about, I have a tumor. You just instinctively, you say, my tumor.
Well, right. Mm.
I'm not claiming it as my tumor. You know, but it's mine in the sense it's in me.
Right.
You know, it's not in anybody else. But I'm certainly not claiming it.
There you go.
But his first words to me, the oncologist, in January of 2021, was, "Mr. Lambert, I give you 4 months to live." That was his opening remarks. Well, obviously, he lied. Obviously, we beat that by a long shot.
Praise God. That was 21? That was 2021, so you, absolutely. Praise God.
No, wait a minute. You're right. It was 2022.
Okay.
I keep getting that confused, because it's been a long...
Still over a year.
Yeah, yeah, right. It's been a long journey. Yeah. So, yeah, it's over a year. And I didn't say anything to him, because I don't want to be unkind here. Well, I haven't given his name anyway, so. But I don't want to be unkind. But the Bible says, don't answer a fool according to his folly. You know, so.
In other words, God had not told you, Apostle Paul, your departure is at hand. You were not looking for the departure.
Not at all. I knew this to be, I mean, this is a man's considerate medical opinion.
Sure. Educated opinion.
Yeah. And let me hasten to say, I believe in doctors.
Yes.
I don't advocate that anybody doesn't see a doctor when they have an illness that requires that. Faith and doctors, they're not contradictory. Some people think they are.
That's important.
Yeah. And, it, you know, just because it's like people used to come to my meetings and I'd pray over them for their eyes to be healed, and they'd immediately take their glasses off.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're going to do away with their glasses.
Throw them away.
You know? And I said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, you prayed for me, so I expect to be healed. I have these glasses, you know." It's not a sign of unbelief. It's a sign of, and it's not Christian science. You know, it's Christian sense. I mean, you know, we don't lose our mind when we become a Christian, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully not.
Hopefully we gain it back.
This is called biblically balanced faith.
That's a good word for it. And
so you don't throw your glasses out until they don't work, right? When they're no longer working, and you take them off and you can see. And my father, incidentally, was healed that way.
Yeah,
my
it can
father
happen.
Experienced that.
It can happen. But I've seen a lot of people that it didn't happen for.
That's true, too.
But on that line, for some reason, the Lord just reminded me. You know, I've been in the ministry 48 years, seen so many things about what we're going to talk about today, if we get to it, if I don't chase too many rabbits, that about faith. And even when you don't even know it, I mean, 48 years later, I remember, I digress, but when God told me to write this book, he said, you know, he was speaking to me. And God does speak to us, you know.
He does.
And it doesn't have to be a Charlton Heston voice. It's just God speaking to us.
Yeah.
and oftentimes it's the inner voice.
My sheep.
Of the Holy Spirit.
Hear my voice.
My sheep know my voice.
Yeah.
And he's our father.
Amen.
Abba Father, as a matter of fact. That means daddy father.
Yes.
Daddy, right? Everybody needs a daddy. Everybody
yes.
needs a father.
Amen.
I have a good message on that, too, but that's another rabbit I'd be chasing. But with Father's Day coming up, I have some good articles on that and how necessary fathers are. And necessary fathers are, as a matter of fact, too, the matter of faith.
Mm.
Because faith comes from our Father.
Mm.
Our Father issues the faith.
Mm.
And oftentimes when people don't have the right relationship that they should have with their heavenly father is because they didn't have a right relationship with their earthly father.
Yes.
And today, we have so much of that. It's so unfortunate. And we're not condemning people. We're just saying, my goodness, so many people don't even know their biological father.
True.
And some of them couldn't care less, you know. And they don't understand what they're missing, what the void is in their life. That yeah. can never be replaced. Like I say, I've written a lot about this, and we seem to be digressing into this, but I'll get off of it in a minute. But the fact of the matter is, I have such great honor and respect. My own daughter was a single mother, and there is a single mother, and through no fault of her own. And as we know, multiplied millions of people, this happens
of
single mothers, and it's not their fault. However, what we need to keep in mind is that there's absolutely no substitute
yeah.
for the father. The mother can be the greatest mother in the world, but that's all she can ever be, is the mother. Now, I'm talking about from a spiritual standpoint.
Sure.
And sometimes
sure.
people mistake what you say when you're coming from a biblical, spiritual standpoint. And I'm really talking about our relationship with our Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Okay? And as I'm going to get into, I've seen many miracles. For some reason a minute ago, when you said what you said, I just the Lord put in my mind a woman that was, in fact, it was, I'll tell you exactly where it was at, Titusville on Saturday night in June in 1983. And this woman had one leg, which is something that God does through me all the time. It's just one of those things, God gives some people the measure of faith for certain
yes,
things.
Yes, true.
And in my meetings, that's routine, that people have legs that grow out. It's just routine. I mean, I don't put it any other way. And it just happens.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman had about 6 inches. Her leg was shorter.
That's significant.
Very significant. And so she was wearing a, you know,
elevation, yeah.
Elevation platform shoe.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, she came up for prayer, and she's one of the workers there. And I said, what do you need? I hadn't even noticed it. And she said, I have this leg that's shorter than the other. And I said, okay. And I just started to touch her, barely touched her, and bam, right there. God, heal that.
Instantly.
Instantly. But the problem was now she was off kilter the other way.
Because of her shoe.
Of her shoe.
Yeah.
So she's standing the other way.
Right.
And she immediately took her shoe off. And that lady had to walk home shoeless.
Yeah.
Because she was instantaneously healed. Yeah.
Great problem.
She was happy to do it and not have to buy those shoes anymore. But I don't know why I just threw that in.
Well, we're talking about faith, and that ties
yeah.
in with faith. I want to make sure you just hit on some of the topics, titles in the book. And, you know, of all yep. times in your life, here you are. You're actually living with a death sentence from your doctor.
Yeah.
And you're writing a book on faith.
Yeah. And when this came and the Lord spoke to me, he said, I'm just talking to him like I'd be talking to you.
Sure.
Having fellowship with him, and He says, you know, you've never written a book on faith. I had to think a minute. I've written 12 books. And I had to think, well, by golly, you're right. I hadn't ever written a book on faith. And I said, but Lord, I don't know anything about faith. For some reason, that just came to me. I said, I don't know enough to fill a book about faith. I mean, I know things. He said, well, you've preached on it your whole ministry.
So you're thinking this is going to be a thin book.
I honestly thought when I started it was going to be four or five. In fact, I was going to put it on, it's an article length book.
Okay.
Just four or five chapters.
But well, God.
But God. And I'm up to 15 now.
Chapters?
Chapters. And I had 14, and I thought I was finished. And just about 2 months ago, the Lord said to me, there's one chapter you're missing. And I just thought, really? I got 14 chapters. I don't know anything else about that. And he said, no, you forgot this. Contending for the faith.
Yeah.
Now, that's not one I normally think of.
Wow. Significant one, though, especially
significant.
Today.
Significant.
Yes.
Mm. And after we have faith, we got to contend for it.
Yeah.
And that doesn't just mean contending for it apologetically.
Sure.
But it also means in your own life. I mean, the Bible says, you know, that there's only one kind of fight that is authorized in the Word of God. Read it. Try to find it.
Good
Look
fight.
It up in Strong's Concordance. There's only one fight, the good fight of faith.
Yeah, it's a winning fight.
And it's a fight we have to fight. Why did he say fight?
It's true.
Because it's a battle.
Yeah, it is a battle.
And you know, so really, 48 years of ministry, I began to see that, well, yeah, I've been fighting to have faith for all these years, fighting everything that comes against you.
Sure.
You know?
Mm.
And so the title of the book, which is not published yet, as we're saying, and the best thing I can tell listeners to do is to go to one of my websites. I have 9 websites. One of them is realtruthpublications.com. A little long. realtruthpublications.com. That's where you'll find when this book is announced. However, I'm constantly posting on Facebook about this book. And you can look me up on Facebook, Stephen Lambert. Actually, you look on Dr. Stephen Lambert, it'll rule out some of the other ones. So, and I have even the book cover up there already. I've already got that ready. And the name of the book is, Now Faith Is. Based on Hebrews 11, yeah. Famous scripture. And the subtitle is Faith That Works. I mean, if it doesn't work, what good is it? So the subtitle is Faith That Works. Now, you know, I started getting my message about this, and the first thing the Lord had me to turn to is the scripture that is familiar to many people. And if they're not careful, they will think that this is just talking about, you know, what some of us knew if you've been around a while, word of faith teaching. But we need to take a second look at this. Otherwise, you're going to miss what God is saying. But Mark 11, 22 through 24, those who followed Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Savelle, and a host of others before Kenneth Hagin, E.W. Kenyon, and just a host of others, about what is faith. Well, we need to understand what faith is before we can find a way to have it. You know, so we need a good definition of faith. But what is astonishing is this scripture in Mark 11 where Jesus said, it says, and Jesus answered them saying, have faith in God. Okay, so we're supposed to have faith in God. His commandments tell us what we should do. But the interesting thing there is that the Greek does the original language doesn't really say that at all. What it says is, have the faith of God. It's a different preposition. It doesn't say have faith in God. It says has the faith of God. Now, when you think about that, that is absolutely astonishing scripture.
Yeah.
Because it is saying, Jesus is saying, we know he can't lie.
Sure.
Jesus can't do anything but tell the truth. So he's saying to us that we, as believers, as anybody that reads this scripture, maybe you haven't even been born again yet, but you're reading this scripture the first time, and he says to you who's reading this, have the faith of God. So that means we can, or you wouldn't say it.
Absolutely.
And it says, and it really means then have the God kind of faith. And that is astonishing to me, because when you, as we all know, when you look in Genesis and the Genesis story, you find God exercising and actually using his faith. He hasn't done anything. He hasn't told us anything that he hasn't already done. In Genesis, it tells us that God did this very thing. The God kind of faith is a creative faith. He created the entire cosmos, as we know, in 7 days. And nine times in Genesis, it tells us, and God said. Now, that's remarkable.
Yes.
He didn't, I mean, I often say, you know, he didn't, when he wanted to build the cosmos, and which was really building the church, by the way, looking forward, he didn't get a hammer and saw. He didn't get, you know, all kinds of construction right. materials.
Equipment, yeah.
And equipment. God used one thing, his mouth, his words, and God said, and it was so in every case. That is absolutely astonishing stuff to me. So we need to take a new look at this. And in it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless, Dave, formless. Mm-hmm. You know about formless, and it was void.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it had nothing.
Right.
It was formless, and darkness. Not only that, if that wasn't bad enough,
it's dark.
Yeah, it's, really. It's covered with darkness.
Right,
and you can't see anything. And we know darkness represents Satan's kingdom.
Sure.
So it was darkness covering the earth, and was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God, hallelujah. This is what we want to happen every time we come to church, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Every time we come and worship God, mm-hmm. we want the Spirit of God to be moving.
Amen.
And it says, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, the first thing he said in Genesis 1:1-3, let there be light. And there was light. So this is, we talk about creative miracles today, as if people think that's a kind of a new thing. That goes back to the creation. There's nothing new about it. So really, and you know, we've already gotten to the end of our time here, but if I could leave anything with people, it is that we really need to take this serious. Mark chapter 11, read that for yourself, and begin to understand that this is the God kind of faith, a faith that speaks, a faith that believes what we speak. And not only did he create the world, but he Jesus is the Word of God.
Amen.
And Jesus became flesh. He is the Word of God. Yes. And he became Christ. So to leave our listeners with a word, we really have to understand, there, let's use the God kind of faith. We don't have to make one up. Mm. We have the God kind of faith. Amen. Let's use it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Pray over us, Dr. Lambert.
Father, in Jesus' name, Jesus. There are people listening right now. Yes. Somebody named Joe. Somebody named Melinda. Is going through serious illness.